I welcome you as we come to worship together on this, the first Sunday in the month of August, and so glad you're here. And maybe you survived the Watermelon Festival. Those of you that are here, some of them may are not here. They're having a hard time recovering. I just don't know, but surely it was a good weekend here in the community for you all in every way. If you're a visitor this morning, welcome to you. There are those visiting. They've come home to be with family in the festival, and we're glad that you're here for worship today. I have friends here from Ahoskie, the Jernigans, that I've gotten to know this year. And, of course, a couple of them were here just a few weeks ago with some singing happening here in the church. So I'm glad that they've joined us this morning as well. And other friends from Ahoskie who are here today, as Sophia will be playing in the worship service. So thank you for being here this morning. There are announcements that are listed on the back of the worship bulletin. And I just encourage you to read those and find your place to be involved in the life of this church as it continues to move forward. I invite you now to stand as we sing together the choral call of worship, Great is the Lord. Seated and join me if you will in our call to worship. Come, let us worship and praise God together. Let us share stories of God's power and majesty, His mighty acts throughout history. Let us remember the compassion He has shown toward us, His mercy and unfailing love, generation after generation. Let us pass these stories along to our children and grandchildren so that they too may come to know and love the Lord our God.
God is great and worthy of our praise. Let us worship God together.
Heavenly Father, on this beautiful Sunday morning, we gather in this place, a place we come to worship, a place where we come to fellowship with one another and just to be in your wonderful presence, a place where we sing from our hearts the joy that we have of you being our Heavenly Father and what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. We pray your blessings on us, Lord, in our worship today. May the words that we speak, the words that we sing, all that is said and done, bring honor and glory to you. For we meet in worship in the great name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand and sing together the hymn of praise, 319, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord the Almighty, King of creation, O my soul, praise. lots of children. This is nice. Good morning. What does it mean to be a disciple? You have no idea. Does anybody here have an idea what it means to be a disciple? Jack? To follow Jesus. So today's story comes from the book of Matthew. Where's the book of Matthew in the Bible?
New Testament.
And Jesus was out walking one day and he saw two brothers and they were fishing. And fishing was a normal job for people at that time. And he told them, come with me, instead of fishing for fish, I'll help you fish for men. They left everything and they went with him. Goes on down the road, finds two more. So they became his disciples. Now, we can't go out and fish for men. We can't take a reel and go and bring in some person. But what can we do to show people about Jesus and to be disciples? What's something we could do? Love God. We've got three children here this morning. This is their last Sunday they'll be with us. And they're going to be moving on. But we can still, and we hope that when they get where they're going to be, they will show the love of Christ that they've learned here. And we hope that the children at that church will be disciples for them, wherever church they end up, by doing what? What can you do when you have a new friend? Say you go to school and there's somebody new in your class this week. What should you do? Welcome them. So you want to welcome somebody when they're new, whether it's because they moved to a new town or they just switched schools or just in a new class. So we want to welcome people, and that's one way we can all be disciples of Christ, by being welcoming. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for your Son. Thank you and help us show us how to be the best disciples we can be. In your Son's name, amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Micah, starting in chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. In the last days, in the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established, as well as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. On the prayer concerns this morning sheet that is here at the front, it doesn't list anybody in the hospital or at home at this time. There is a piece in your bulletin this morning about those that are at home and not able to worship with us, and we should remember them. But under other concerns, the Charles Paul family, it's listed here that Charles passed away this past week. So let's keep that family in our prayers. So I invite you now, as we pray together, a moment of silent prayer as we remember this family and others that are on our hearts, and then I'll lead us in prayer together. So let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, to give thanks to you that we know you're present here in our midst, and to thank you, God, that you hear the prayers of our hearts. You know the thoughts of our minds. And Lord, as we gather here in our worship this morning, we do think about those that are not with us, those for whatever reason, Lord, are not able to be present in this place today. They're on our hearts and they're on our minds, and we lift them to you, Lord. Concerns that we have for them and care that we have for them. Lord, we pray for the family of Charles Paul in his passing, that they now are separated from him by death. And yet, Lord, we give thanks for his life. We give thanks for his commitment to you, Lord, and we know that he has now found his place in that eternal home. We pray for his family, God, that you in a special way will comfort them during this time. Lord, we thank you for the work of this church. And just a week ago, how the church has now called a new pastor. We pray for what he does in these coming weeks to prepare to come to this place. And we pray, Lord, I pray especially for this congregation as they make preparations for his arrival to this place. And that, Lord, you will bless him and guide him, Lord, and give him all that he needs as he comes to lead this church. And that this church will respond well to what he will provide in leadership, Lord, and do good things here in this community and even beyond this community in proclaiming the gospel to those who need to hear it so much, and in meeting human needs that are all around us. So, Lord, we pray that good things will certainly take place upon his arrival in the years that he'll serve here in this wonderful church. And, Lord, I pray this day that as we worship together, that, Lord, what is said will speak into our hearts and challenge us as we continue to be about living the life of a disciple in our community, and building relationships with other people and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope that is found in the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for all that you are to us and that we're called your children through our confession of faith in Jesus Christ. It's in his wonderful name that I make this prayer. Amen. I invite you now to stand as we sing together hymn number 48, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Bible is filled with so many examples of people sharing their offering, from the Old Testament, giving of their best, to the day when Jesus saw that woman walk in and she put two small tokens into the offering, and she said really she'd outgiven all the rest because she gave what she had. Stewardship is a part of our lives as Christians. We're to be obedient and faithful in our stewardship to the Lord, and it fulfills the opportunity for this church to carry out its mission. So may you now give in a generous way. Father, we stand before you with the gifts that we bring to lay on this altar. God, as a reminder that from early days of your people, they were to bring the best that they had and lay it before you. And so may we be found faithful, Lord, in bringing the best that we have before you, God. and acknowledge what you have done for us and all that you've blessed us with, and that, Lord, you use these gifts to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, to carry out what this church believes important in its ministries in this community and even beyond Murfreesboro. And we do it, God, to bring honor and glory to you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Our New Testament scripture this morning is in Matthew chapter 4, and the reading begins with verse 18. Sarah's already given you all a little bit about these verses here in the New Testament as well, the calling of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And these were the first that he called. Verse 18 and following, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The word of the Lord. Sophia, I know your mother and grandmother are quite proud of you playing this morning. Thank you so much. And, of course, Linda being a pianist and Paul, I can just imagine this going through their head, the early days of their playing and being in church and how they got started. So thank you so much for your music this morning. I'm an early riser in the morning. I get up pretty early, and this morning I got up early to watch the women's soccer team play in the World Cup. And did anybody else watch that? You had to start at 5 o'clock. Anybody else? Am I the only one up at 5 this morning that saw that game? Well, we didn't win. Lost it in penalty kicks. It was a tie. It went to penalty kicks. And through the first five penalty kicks, we were tied again. We'd missed two. And then it was just a shoot-off after that, and we lost it. Sadly. But when I think about those young women, the best soccer players that we have in the United States are part of that team. Think about it. And doing something in an extraordinary way, playing soccer in the World Cup. I mean, that's the best that you can get to when it comes to soccer, playing in the World Cup. But then I think about all the other professional teams, and they have all-star games. And, you know, they pick the best that they have of the different teams to play in these all-star games. They're almost called like superheroes, doing something extraordinary when it comes to their athletic ability. But it's not just in the sports field where that happens. It happens in other areas as well. You know, Hollywood has the Oscars and celebrates the best in the film industry. Music has the Grammys, and they celebrate through that, you know, the best they have in the music industry. Why, really, we could probably put it like this. Even in the Bible, there's a list of extraordinary, maybe, people. You think about David taking out Goliath, and he did it with just a small rock. Or Daniel surviving the lion's den. Or Moses getting the word of the Lord to build this ark. Noah with the ark. Or Moses leading the people out of bondage and across the Red Sea. Or Elijah doing what he did at Mount Carmel. Or Gideon with his 300, Ezekiel with the bones in the desert, Jonah and the fish, Samson and his strength, even Paul with the courage that he had as God led him to be that wonderful missionary, Peter before the high court. You know, these we consider to be extraordinary people of the Bible. How do we relate to them? How do we comprehend what they did and their ability? How do we really connect with these, what we might call heroes or extraordinary people of the Bible? You may think, well, you know, we've got all these special people in the Bible. Where are the average people at in the Bible? Where are the ones that we would consider to be just ordinary people, but God called them out for some really specific and extraordinary work? People that we don't know as well as we do King David or Solomon or Paul or others. Well, I got a list of just a few that are in the Bible, and I want to see if you know these people. If you remember them, Shipra and Pua, two midwives there in the book of Exodus, who dared to defy the Pharaoh because they answered to a call of a higher power. Bezalel, an architect that God called out for the job of a lifetime because he was given the command to build the Ark of the Covenant. Ehud, used by God for no better reason than he was left-handed and he was available. It says that in the Bible. Shamgar, mentioned one time in the scripture, but he was one that killed 600 Philistines and helped save Israel. Asa, you read in the Bible of Asa, this was a son of parents that were really considered to be godless, and yet he became a godly king. Tychicus, a courier, who accompanied Paul on part of his missionary journey, and he was responsible oftentimes for sharing Paul's letters or words with others. Hushi was a friend of King David and a spy. You remember those? They're just some of the ordinary people of the Bible. We don't talk about too many of those from time to time. First of all, their names are hard to pronounce, and secondly, we don't spell them real well, do we? Hushi. The last one I shared with you, Hushi. You pronounce it like W-H-O-S-H-I, but it is written H-U-S-H-A-I. We have a hard time pronouncing them, don't we? How well do you really know this group? Ordinary people. Just ordinary people that God used for his purpose. Ordinary people that were called out. Ordinary people gifted by God. Ordinary people empowered by God. And they fulfilled a God-given mission. God chooses ordinary people more often than not because there's a whole lot more of us around. There's only a few of the superheroes, if you please. Think about the 12 disciples that Jesus called out. Not one of those 12 disciples came with great credentials. Most of them had modest backgrounds, didn't have much distinction in their lives. Not one of them had a theological degree. Not one of them fit the mold of a rising star. Yet they became the chosen ones. And the way that Jesus Christ would begin his ministry and carry his message of good news across the world, bringing love and salvation that would only be found through Jesus Christ. He brought it about by calling out ordinary people. And then when he ascends to the heavens, he leaves his entire ministry to a group of 12. 11. You know, Judas had been committed suicide, so he wasn't around, and it was just 11 at that time until they elected another one. And it all began, though, it all began with the group that we read about this morning in Matthew's gospel when he called those first ones out. He said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people." Other translations will read "fishers of people" instead of "fishers for people." I like the word "fishers of people," the way that's written there, because it identifies more about some identity that they would have rather than a function. Jesus called these first disciples just really not into a work, but into a relationship. I want you to be fishers of people. He was talking about, I'm calling you out to follow me, that you will build a relationship with others. And in building that relationship, you will work as I bless you and guide you in your life to lead others to trust me and believe in me as Lord and Savior. It was a calling. We talk about callings today, but a calling is not just left to a minister, not just left to those that would lead a church. A calling is a part of our vocation. And I consider what you've done in your life to have been a calling to be a teacher, a calling to be a farmer, you please, a calling to run a business, so to speak. But it's also this calling of being a parent, of being a good citizen, a calling of being a community volunteer. All of these arenas of life are important. And we as Christians are much needed in them because it's a calling of our lives, just ordinary people that we are, to build relationships. Caring for our neighbor. Caring for one that's not our neighbor, but somebody in the community. Caring for a stranger. Building relationships. We see Jesus beginning his ministry, preaching the good news, teaching those who would follow him, and calling those out. Again, I want to remind us of how Jesus did this with just ordinary people. He chose, where he started, a town in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum. He could have gone back to Nazareth and chosen a group there. He was already known there. People knew about him, but he didn't do that. He could have gone to Jerusalem, considered to be the holy city, the place where God resides, in the temple there. And he could have chosen some that were well-spoken and those that had studied the scriptures of old for a long, long time. He didn't do that. He didn't go to the leaders of the town. He didn't go to the well-educated there. He didn't go to the ones with all the wealth and the power. He didn't seek out the intellectual of that day. He goes by the sea. And there he sees fishermen working in their small family business. Ordinary people in just an ordinary town. And this is how he begins to make his disciples, by calling them out to follow him. You may have heard this name before, Fred Craddock. He wrote a number of books. He was professor preaching at the theological seminary there at Emory University, and often quoted in preachers' messages today because he did so much. He was so wonderful at what he did. And he said this about himself, that he had always imagined that someday he would do something really great. He said this about himself. He'd do something really great. He'd maybe be a martyr for Jesus, like he'd die for the Lord. And then he said, you know, there'd be a monument built to recognize him for his deeds, and people would come around and read on the bottom of it, "Here's where Fred gave it all to Jesus." You know, he thought he'd really become somebody special, somebody very prominent. And then he wrote it like this. He always thought that his call would be played out as a spectacular $100 bill kind of experience. But then he came to realize, I think God got a hold of his heart and his spirit and humbled him somewhat. And he realized that his ministry was about giving lectures and preaching. It was about writing books and reading books, so forth. It was about grading papers and going to a lot of meetings. And he finally realized and accepted the call on his life that he was really somewhat ordinary, not extraordinary in any kind of way. And he said, you know, I thought about it like this. I'd take that $100 bill to the bank and say to the teller, "Give it back to me in quarters." And then Craddock said, "I'll live my life out a quarter at a time, just as an ordinary person." Jesus is calling on you and me, just ordinary people, to share his message. Just ordinary people to care for others. Just ordinary people to pray for the sick. Just ordinary people to pray for those that are unreached, that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. Just ordinary people to advance his cause and his plan and his purpose on this earth. And we do it one day at a time as ordinary people. But we understand all of this comes as a call from God. A call through his Son, Jesus Christ, into a relationship. He called these first disciples to be something and then to do something. To be fishers of people. He called them into a relationship first with him, and then with each other, and then with others wherever they would go to live out their lives. And folks, we're not removed from that today. It's about building relationships. We've gotten away from a lot of that. You know, we don't go to the gas station anymore and somebody come out and pump the gas for you, do we? We've cut that relationship out. We use a debit card or a credit card. And we might go inside the quick shop to get something, but we do that. Drink machines today. Do you know there's some drink machines out there that will talk back to you today about making your choice for a drink? Other businesses like fast food places have found they can do it through the drive-thru. You don't have to go in, greet anyone, talk to anyone. I'm not sure that our smartphones have really helped us to build relationships. We claim to be connected, but we're connected by a picture maybe on a phone or just a voice on the phone. We live in a world today with such wonderful technology, but I believe it discourages more and more this important face-to-face contact, thinking it'll make it easier for us. The church may be the only remaining place where we come together face to face in contact with each other, and we build relationships with ourselves in this place, and we go out of here to create relationships with others. This is the place where we're building a relationship, and we're called to do that in Christ. And he calls ordinary people right in the very middle of whatever they're doing to a relationship with him and relationship with others. And in so doing, there's extraordinary things that we will carry out because of us being empowered through God and his Spirit. I thought about it this week. I heard early in the week from one person here that you had called a pastor. And I thought about relationship. How important it is to build a relationship with your new pastor. It's a pastor and a people coming together. Through the years, the churches I served, it was important because of building relationships. And Linda and I today can talk about relationships in every church we've been in, special relationships, even here in Murfreesboro, where I served many years ago. It was a little while back that one of the youth of our days gone by, that was about 1975, if my math's good, that's almost 50 years ago, but we won't talk about that. But it was building relationships. And then to be back here as an interim a few years ago, rebuilding and building new relationships. And being here now, it's about you all building a relationship with this new pastor. But it's also to hear God calling you to build a relationship with others in this community, because it's not just up to him, it's up to all of you. just ordinary people coming together to do the work. Think about that one person, or maybe more than one person, with whom you're in a relationship with. Or someone you desire to be in a relationship, build this friendship with. A friendship that can bring you some joy and some happiness. In building that relationship to be stronger than it even is today, I hope that person is on your heart and mind. I hope you pray for that person. I hope you believe that God will use you to make a difference in that person's life. And it may be somebody that doesn't have any connection to Murfreesboro Baptist Church, but as you build that relationship, you invite that person to be with you here in Sunday school, to be with you here in worship, be with you here at special times of the year. You need to believe that God is calling you to be a fisher of people, just like he called those first disciples. Christ-shaped relationships we're talking about. What it means to be a disciple. And there's a lot of work to be done. And you don't need to think, well, that's left to just a few, quote, special people. No, the Lord is calling us, ordinary people, to accomplish his work and to do extraordinary work. And as we fulfill that calling, this church will grow. We'll build a relationship with other people, and out of building those relationships, there'll be more people. We can grow the church of Jesus Christ as we recognize Christ using us and desiring to use us to continue to advance his kingdom here on earth. It's simply ordinary people doing extraordinary work as God leads you to do that. Ordinary people doing extraordinary work. And I hope you'll believe that and support that and respond to that calling as your new pastor joins you on the field here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the call on our lives to your Son Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that we who are here today responded in a special way to that call and claim Christ to be our Lord and Savior. But God, a part of that call is to be about doing your business here on earth, to advancing your kingdom in the community where we live. And we do that, Lord, by building relationships. And we understand that, God, it's not the extraordinary people, the few that they are, or the superheroes of the day, whomever they are. It's that you're calling us out in the places where we live, in the places where we work, in the places where we've retired, places where we just find ourselves. You call us out as ordinary people, and you gift us, and you empower us by your Spirit to do those extraordinary things for you. Thank you, God, for the call on our lives. And I pray we respond well to that call and we build relationships with others that can strengthen your kingdom and your work in people's lives and be changed for the good and acknowledge Christ as Lord. In his name I pray. Amen. We sing a hymn of invitation, Higher Ground. And yes, it's probably the higher ground that we take as we build these relationships and do these things for Christ in the lives that we live. It's hymn number 641. I'll be here at the front to greet you as you wish to make a decision and share it this morning. So I invite you to stand. Let's sing together.
I think he's supposed to tell his congregation to be